friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. In those days, a young couple traveled the 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This wasn't a vacation. It was required. Government's decision impacted normal people in foul ways in those days. In those days, the emperor's decree was probably about money, taxes specifically. You needed a good count of the people, a periodic census, in order to tax them appropriately. It was all about taxes in those days. In those days, the couple faced a harder journey than most because she was pregnant. You didn't travel in the final weeks of pregnancy in those days. It was dangerous. But even beyond that, this young couple faced the challenge of pregnant while unmarried, which was frowned upon, to say the least, and they knew it. Each prospective host glanced at the pregnant, unwed girl before informing the couple there was no vacancy. Really? There were no guest beds available in the homes of distant relatives? No cheap rooms available in the inn? Really? The young couple wondered as they settled in the stable to deliver a baby. Pregnant was hard. Pregnant while unmarried was harder still in those days. In those days, shepherds were just outside town tending their flock. They also faced stigma, as the pregnant girl did, but it lasted longer than 9 months for sure. Generations, probably. Shepherds were mistrusted like tax collectors, but they smelled worse. Even though they were needed by the general population, needed yet despised, so they kept to themselves, away from talk of censuses and taxes and proper times for pregnancy. They were the hidden poor class living on the outskirts in those days. And so in those days, a baby was born among animals while his parents breathed a brief sigh of relief that they had survived the travel and the stigma and the labor, a brief sigh before wondering, before worrying about what comes next after a birth in those days. Those days had emperors and shepherds and strange customs and ancient religion and 80-mile journeys from the north that were far more dangerous than anything we face today. Although if you made your way here from Denver, you might disagree with me on the last one. Those days feel so foreign to us, and yet also familiar. Travel in order to be counted sounds ridiculous, but political leaders fretting over taxes does not. Shepherds living in the shadows sounds strange, but hidden poverty does not. Giving birth among goats and cattle is bizarre, but fear and anxiety surrounding a birth is not. Those days were very foreign, yet also familiar. The struggles of daily life, the feelings of powerlessness in this great big world, the dependence on and yet also distrust of one another, they all had a different flavor in those days, but really, it was not so different than these days. And the longing of the young couple, the shepherds, shoot, maybe even Emperor Augustus, the longing for something extraordinary to break in. It's eternal, as true now as it was then. And yet that's when those days suddenly feel so very different than today. Not in the customs or the decrees or the stigmas. It isn't the ordinary that's ultimately strange to us. It's the extraordinary. It's the angels and the lights and the heavenly chorus and the significance that surrounded this simple birth. Those are far more foreign than Augustus or sheep or a manger. The ordinary makes those days feel normal, but the extraordinary that happened within that ordinary birth, the miraculous, the sacred, breaking in from heaven to earth, that's just weird. We have so much in common, but we don't have that. Miracles are out of fashion now. Hope for the divine to break in, that's too fanciful. And God being born? Maybe that could happen in those days, maybe, but not today. Which makes today, tonight, odd, doesn't it? Challenging, perhaps. Challenging to celebrate something that happened way back then in those days, something so unimaginable now. To be sure, there's lots of celebration tonight. The nice dishes are brought out of the closet, and cookies are baked, even by those of us who never bake any other time of year. Gifts given, lights hung, and food feasted upon. And in this place, well, in this place, we put up the tree and the nativity set. We sing the same songs each year, adding a layer of sentiment and import every time we do. And we bring out candles, candles which are all lit from the one Christ candle. And by that light, we sing into the darkness. We celebrate. There is meaning in this night. I think few of us would disagree with that. But what is it? A night that centers on a birth, on an extraordinary divine action within a birth, something we feel could only happen in those days, not in these days, not now when it feels so sacredless, which the squiggly red line on my computer screen tells me isn't a real word, but I'm using it. I guess what I'm asking is, what are we doing here? When faced with a story too extraordinary to happen today, we may begin to think of our celebration as less as a lesson or as nostalgia or like more generic sacredness. The lesson could be about hospitality, about looking out for the ignored, about caring for the outcasts among us as God does. If it's a lesson, then the story becomes sort of a fable, meaningful so long as we learn from it. Or maybe tonight is like this exercise in nostalgia. We paint the manger in soft hues and add halos around the young couple's heads, put them in porcelain, as Dan said. We imagine meekness and calmness and warmth, not to avoid the hardship of those days, but to remember with fondness the significance, the miracle in that manger. We look back at that time longing for such significance, so we light candles. It's the next best thing. Or maybe we want something just a little more and are willing to sacrifice some of the miracle in order to get it. We turn the birth into a symbol of God always being among us, a symbol that there is really no such thing as sacredness. The birth becomes a generic sense of holiness within us all, even if we don't have the angels and God incarnate and the like. So is that what we're doing here tonight? Is this a night of learning, nostalgia, or generic holiness? I hope not. The lessons and nostalgia and sense of the divine, that's all good, and all these things come about in this season better than most. But I hope for something bigger than the feeling of a season. I think something more is going on tonight. In those days when that baby was born, an ordinary birth under tenuous circumstances, an angel appeared among nearby shepherds. They were afraid at the sight, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." Good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born. The mere presence of the angel showed that the meaning of that birth must extend beyond the manger, even out to shepherds in the fields. To you is born, not just to Mary or Joseph, but to you, shepherds, to you is born. But then the angel also says something more remarkable still, something which bridges the divide between those days and this night. This is good news of great joy for all people. For all people. Not just for Mary or shepherds, not for Augustus or innkeepers who cast a suspicious eye towards that pregnant girl, not just for wise men who came later or some guy named Luke who wrote this all down later still. No, this is for all people, which means this is for you and for me. This story that took place way back in those days, it mentions us for all people. This story, this birth, this is for you. And this story is just the beginning of a greater story of unbelievable healings and immense feedings and impossible raising from the dead. If the angel is to be believed, then even this greater story, which feels just as distant as tonight's story does, if the angel is to be believed, then this greater story is for you too. What are we doing here? We sing and light candles, not to learn or look back with nostalgia or tease out some generic sacredness. We sing because this story is for us. This baby was born for us. This story is for these ordinary times and for people trying to live and find meaning in these ordinary times. This story that took place in those days is for these days. We sing tonight because the good news of great joy is for all people. We sing because in those days the angels broke out of heaven, filled with light and sang of God's glory, Gloria in excelsis Deo. And as this night turns dark, like every other night, the angels will not appear. But their song from back in those days echoes across our mountains still. Because their song is our song. Their joy is our joy. Good news of great joy for all people. To you is born a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus. So light your Christmas lights. Give your gifts. Embrace those you love and those who are not embraced. Feast, sing, and hold high your candle in these days. For the song of those days, the light, the joy, the baby, are all for you. Amen.